are holding candidate interviews during this hour this week with candidates running in key races in Wisconsin's primary, which is a week from today. Today, we focus on Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 2nd. Democratic U.S. Representative Ron Kind is the 3rd Congressional District incumbent. He is running for his 11th term. We will talk with him coming up after 7:30. First, we will talk with his Democratic challenger, Myron Buchholz, who is a retired high school history teacher in Eau Claire and a basketball coach. And we're going to welcome your questions for him about why he wants 3rd District voters to send him to Congress. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest candidate. Myron Buchholz is a retired high school history teacher in Eau Claire, a basketball coach. He's challenging U.S. Representative Ron Kind in the August 9th Democratic primary in the 3rd Congressional District in Western Wisconsin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. Why are you running for Congress? Why are you challenging Representative Ron Kind?
I had an issue with Mr. Kind that goes all the way back to 2002, 2003. I watched him make statements about not being able to support Bush and Cheney's war in Iraq and then change his mind and support it in the face of tremendous protest and so on, myself included. I've been watching with great interest since then. And I believe as the years have gone by, in a heavily gerrymandered district like we have in the 3rd CD, that he has slid farther and farther to the right with that New Democrat coalition. And I aim to give the voters of Western Wisconsin a choice between candidates on the big issues.
Yeah, you describe yourself as a progressive Democrat, and here you are trying to unseat a 20-year incumbent in Ron Kind. Almost sounds like the more progressive Bernie Sanders trying to defeat Hillary Clinton in the primary. Did Sanders' presidential run play any role in your campaign?
Well, I tell people I've been as consistent on the issues for 30 years as Senator Sanders. I have known of him for quite a while, but I am not necessarily jumping on his bandwagon. The issues that are there, and certainly in this election cycle, having the Sanders campaign out there, getting some national attention, and generating a tremendous amount of interest in true progressive, which I also like to think is old Democrat issues, is very helpful. And, it's certainly a big part of why I chose to do this.
Perhaps the most stark contrast between you and Congressman Ron Kind is over the Trans-Pacific Partnership Trade Deal, or the TPP. Kind supports it, while you are opposed to it. In fact, you were quoted in several newspapers as saying the TPP is the biggest issue for you right now. What is so bad about the TPP?
Funny you should bring that up. But let me tell you, it's a long, long list. And, it starts probably for me with the idea that it was negotiated in secrecy over about 7 years. And I also feel like it was dumped on us. And then to say that we have to hurry up and pass this, coming up with the fast track, which I find somewhat undemocratic all by itself, to vote in Congress to win on a fast track bill means it's an up or down vote without opportunity to amend or really debate. And when you're talking about a 12-nation trade deal that is described by more people than me as the biggest trade deal in history and also virtually permanent, because in order to change it, you have to get agreements from many nations. that this needs debate. And there are a number of issues that are there. And, of course, one of them that bothers many, including the 1,500 very diverse groups all the way from the Methodist Church to the National Farmers Union, is this investor-state dispute system, which we have in place since NAFTA, meaning that any locality like Eau Claire or Wisconsin or the United States of America, if they decide that something is wrong with one of these deals, with one of these issues with trade with a major corporation, and want to block it, that major corporation can sue the taxpayers for, in effect, restraint of trade, taking it out of our court system. And I find that incredibly undemocratic. So, and we know that's happened. Many of your listeners will, of course, be aware of what happened with the Keystone Pipeline. When Obama responded to good grassroots opposition to the pipeline being run across the Great Plains, after years of actually supporting it, and then said he was going to block it, the Keystone Company is suing us for $15 billion. We democratically said no to your pipeline, and now we're getting sued. That is in place in NAFTA, and it is in place in the TPP, and that is something that we really don't need to rush into.
Yeah. After being heckled by protesters during his speech to the Wisconsin delegates at the Democratic Convention last week in Philadelphia, Ron Kind told the Wisconsin State Journal that the TPP is poorly understood. He said that the deal contains enforcement triggers to sanction member nations if they fail to abide by labor, human rights, and environmental standards. President Obama also has said the deal is vital for America as it competes with China. For influence over trade rules in the Far East. What do you say about those arguments?
Well, Kind's quote there was interesting to me because it's almost verbatim from the arguments that we were given in 2003 about the war in Iraq. That, gee, we just don't know enough about it. Well, if that's true, then lay out the specifics that we don't know instead of giving us these interesting platitudes about we just don't know. It's misunderstood. 1,500 groups, 450 environmental groups, Senator Russ Feingold, Tammy Baldwin, 33 of 36 elected assembly members in our own state of Wisconsin are on record opposing it. I'm not alone in this. I'm not against trade. And that's another attack that I sometimes hear. Well, you're against trade. I'm against trade deals that were written by corporations in secret and ramrodded through a fast track without enough time to really let it out. You have to remember that WikiLeaks put this out about 2 years ago, and people started to see it only about 2 years ago. And then when Mr. Kind voted to fast track it, it's interesting that he's on record as criticizing Senator Feingold for being against it before he read it. Senator Feingold is famous in the state for reading legislation. You know, 98-1 Russ. The great irony of it to me is that Mr. Kind voted to fast track it before the entire document had actually been released. So I just, I just fail to see why we're in such a hurry to do this agreement. If you look at it, I've been told numerous times that there's 30 chapters and only six of them are truly about trade. It's the other 24 chapters that we should be concerned about.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, we'll talk to Ron Kind about his support for this coming up in our next half hour. But seems to me he thinks it's going to help the businesses, including the agribusinesses in western Wisconsin. What about those economic benefits of the TPP?
Well, I want to quote a statement I have in front of here that was reported in the Wall Street Journal on May 19th. It says, if ratified, the 12-nation trade agreement would likely lift U.S. gross domestic product by a small amount, 0.15%, or $42.7 billion by 2032. It goes on to say the ITC report and other reviews by economists show the deal's impact of the TPP is likely to be extremely small on the overall U.S. economy. Wisconsin workers, on average, only about 1 in 10 work in the export market. The argument that we are going to sell a lot of milk across the Pacific to people that are lactose intolerant And so, a lot of other supplies there are interesting to me, especially when the people who are going to profit the most are the major corporations doing the shipping, and the trade. The arguments just fall apart on so many levels that we need to take a look at this. And, of course, the number one issue on the minds of the voters I talk to is, how is Mr. Kine going to vote if this comes up in a lame duck session? You know, that idea of pushing something to a lame duck session is interesting all by itself. And we've been on record for a long time asking Mr. Kine to state clearly how he's going to vote on the TPP if it comes up, when there's clear opposition to this vote all across this district.
Let me hold you there, because we have news next from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with a candidate for Congress, Myron Buchholz. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. Our series of candidate interviews continues this hour. We are looking at the Democratic primary in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District during this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are currently talking with the Democratic challenger in the 3rd Congressional District, retired Eau Claire High School history teacher Myron Buchholz. We will welcome in the incumbent, Congressman Ron Kind, coming up in about 10 minutes or so. What is your question for the challenger? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Do you think that Congressman Ron Kind should be reelected for another term? Or do you think he should be replaced with someone who is more progressive in Democratic politics? Let us know what you think, what questions you have. Brian on Facebook says, it's nice to see a challenge to Kind. His record on labor and trade is really quite poor. Myron Buchholz, we talked a little bit about trade and your objections with the TPP. I mean, do you see Kind's record on labor in general as being quite poor?
Well, the biggest problem that labor has is with these trade issues that have sent jobs overseas. NAFTA is a job loss of 75,000 Wisconsin jobs. That number is really not in dispute. And, of course, when people look at our other trade deals in between, whether it be Korea or Panama, there is a net loss. We have a net loss in the CAFTA agreement. The study that I was reading to you that was produced by the U.S. International Trade Commission itself only projected 128,000 full-time jobs out of this huge trade deal. Well, that's a nice number over 16 years, but of course that does not anticipate what jobs will be lost. And we know that's been a real problem. So labor is not in support of Mr. Kind and hasn't been for years because of his support of these deals.
Your website says you back a $15 per hour minimum wage hike and pay equity for women. Why do you think that's such an important issue?
$7.25 is a poverty wage. We're the richest country in the world. And had the minimum wage been adjusted for inflation back in 1968, it would be $15 an hour today, by about any metric that you look at, and some, of course, take it even higher based on productivity. I have been campaigning really hard across the district, and I have a lit piece that shows the maps of free and reduced public school populations across the state. And while we can't lay it all at Scott Walker's feet, this trend had started long before 2010, and we are close now to 50% of our public school population being on free and reduced lunches. I frequently get asked if the numbers have changed for qualification, and the answer is no. We are the richest country in the world, and this is Wisconsin, and we have about half of our public school students who can't afford to pay full price for an already subsidized lunch. That's a really, really shocking statistic to people. And I would like to hear that the TPP is going to turn that around. And, of course, we've been promised that. You probably called NAFTA the promises of jobs and prosperity. Well, it's just not happening.
Your website also says you support free college tuition because the government, quote, must not profit on student loans, unquote, and that if people are saddled with student debt, they can't spend money on other things to keep the economy going. Briefly, what is your free college tuition plan?
Well, the idea that, small increases in taxation in this country can generate the amount of wealth that actually can provide something that we have done before. I always like to remind people that there's a meme out there that says that Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal did not solve the Great Depression. World War II did. They say, oh, that's interesting, because what was World War II except a giant jobs program? We put 20 million men and women into uniform for 3.5 years. And you know what? After they came out, we put them in college for basically nothing. About 8 million people went to college for nothing. California used to have a state college plan that was generally free. The state of New York did. And, of course, me being at the age of 58, when I went to school, it wasn't totally free. Adjusted for inflation, there isn't anybody today who wouldn't take what I paid for college. We have seen such a tremendous slide where now people come out of college with a mortgage and no house. And I've heard Senator Feingold talk about how he's talked to home builders to say that one of the biggest challenges that they face is that a college graduate coming out who would like to build a house saddled with a $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 debt is not going to. So it's an economic stimulus all across the board, paid for by many different ways that the richest country in the world can, with smart people, can work it out.
We had a caller who just dropped who wanted to know your stance on gun control. What if anything, would you advocate to reduce gun violence in the U.S.?
Well, the thing that polls so incredibly well amongst my friends, acquaintances, and the people I talk to and the articles I read is that background checks fit really well with the Second Amendment's phrase, well-regulated. I have all kinds of examples that I can use. In a society, we try to pass rules that aren't perfect, but that work out for the great majority. And this free exchange of weapons that's happening across the country is, the metrics are terrible. I mean, we now have more people shot to death in gun violence than we do killed in cars. And, the car collisions would drive more miles at faster speeds and have fewer people die because of regulation. There's safety devices. There's things built in. It's not perfect. We still have lots of people die. But it's a reasonable common sense approach, I think, to say that we can do well regulation, and that one is background checks. You don't need to run out to buy a shotgun before duck season. It's the hunters and so on are not going to be hurt by that, because we all know that's a culture, and it's not going to impact that. But some of our cities and places where this gun violence is out of hand, some regulation needs to be looked at.
You you called the Iraq War, which Congressman Kind supported in 2002, or at least voted to authorize the use of force in Iraq in 2002, the worst foreign policy decision in American history. And you told us that was one reason why you started thinking about running for Congress. But what should the U.S. be doing now to deal with the threat of ISIS and terrorism?
Well, to remind your listeners to go back to 1966, 67, 68, 69, 70, 71, and 72, and listen to Presidents Johnson and Nixon say that we will never leave Vietnam. And, of course, we left. It wasn't on great circumstances. We had lost the moral high ground, and it was simply an unwinnable situation. We are faced with a very similar situation with that today, that we got involved in a region that our own leaders who took us there a decade earlier had warned us about, and it's messed up, to say the least. Now we have ISIS, And I ask you, what do you think the next terrorist group to come up, next term to come up, is going to be? Because once the Taliban was bad, and then we went to Al-Qaeda, and now we have ISIS. I'll give you this little example. 2003, let's say that we had some, a lot of 13-year-olds, a lot of 10-year-olds in Baghdad, and they grew up, and now they're 23 years old. They watched their city and their culture be destroyed. We can find them, probably, and kill them. My daughter was in military intelligence. I have a deep understanding of what the military capacity in this country is. But the reality is those 23-year-olds have 10-year-old nephews and maybe brothers and so on, and when we kill their older brothers, they're never going to forgive us. The drone war's got to stop. I mean, that's just got to stop. And it's counterproductive, to say the least. And I also think we need to reduce our footprint, and we have lost the moral high ground. Trying to create democracy in this region by more bombing is just simply not going to happen.
We have less than 30 seconds for your final statement. Why should people vote for you next Tuesday over Ron Kind?
Well, Mr. Kind uses two phrases consistently, and one is to level the playing field, and the other one is to reach across the aisle. And I was kind of chuckle at that reach across one because they become very meaningless sound bites. And Mr. Kind is, in many issues with pharma and big banks and the TPP and so on, is kind of moved across the aisle. And I have a big event on Saturday. Jim Hightower is coming to La Crosse to give me an endorsement. And so if you're in the La Crosse area, come down to the Cavalier Lounge at 6 o'clock on Saturday night.
All right.
Jim Hightower.
Thank you very much for being with us. That was Myron Buchholz, a retired high school history teacher in Eau Claire, who is challenging U.S. Representative Ron Kind in next Tuesday's Democratic primary in Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District.